It is 6:50 on this Tuesday. Great to have you here. Imagine this. You start an underground restaurant in your own apartment, and next thing you know, it becomes the number one restaurant in its category in your city on Yelp. That's what happened to my next guest, Win Tran, with us, author of Adventures in Starry Kitchen, 88 Asian-inspired recipes from America's most famous underground restaurant. Win, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much for having me on such short notice. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, how do you do a restaurant in your own apartment? How does that work?
Well, I always tell people thinking is overrated, so you just start doing it and you start asking people for money. I mean, those are the simple two things that I guess you make food, you ask people for money, and you do it wherever you feel like it. So, and it happens to be in an apartment, that's how you do it.
And what did your neighbors think about that?
They were all there, so they loved it. So they were all eating there. But, you know, it's also because I asked for a $5 donation. So they wasn't actually, I wasn't even charging. I was asking for a donation. And I figured at $5, you couldn't hate the food that much.
Yeah, that's a good deal. But how many people can you seat in an apartment?
Well, so we had a communal patio. So when the first iteration of Starry Kitchen is what, you know, what this is and what it's called, you know, we used to fit like 70 to 80 people out on our patio.
Wow.
But then when we got caught by the health department, we brought everyone inside our apartment, which fit only 10 people comfortably or about 35 people uncomfortably.
Okay, that's so interesting. So it didn't take long for the health department to come after you?
Oh, well, it depends. Like, if you think 6 months is a long time, then yeah, that's a long time. But no, someone ratted us out, a local restaurateur, but it was the best thing that ever happened to us because it legitimized us, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. So how long before you go from the apartment to a normal setting?
Well, we got a brick-and-mortar restaurant. We were already in talks when the health department found us, and I even told the health department, like, hey, don't you want to make us, like, the poster child? And they didn't care, but when they caught us, we actually kept it going for another 3 months because I didn't care still.
Uh-huh.
But when we stopped the apartment, we had transitioned into the real brick-and-mortar restaurant about 2 weeks after that.
And this is in Los Angeles. And what's the name of the restaurant?
It's called Starry Kitchen. But our current restaurant, so Starry Kitchen is like the umbrella of everything we do. And we have a place called Button Mash, which is a BUTTON. It's like an arcade bar restaurant that's right next to Dodger Stadium that we're part of as well.
Okay, wow. I mean, so many restaurants fail, right? I mean, it doesn't take long. They don't make it. How did you get yours to work out?
You know what? I ignored all of that and just persevered because, yeah, I'd say pretty much like 98 to 99% of restaurants fail within the first year, and I just didn't want to be a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ignored everything that could bring me down, and I just kind of hunkered down. It's kind of like running with a football. You take it and you just run as far as you can. So.
Right. But, I mean, financially, were you doing okay right away, or how'd that work?
Actually, we went viral the first month we opened, which is something we didn't expect, and we had lines at the door constantly, like 40 or 50 people deep.
Mm-hmm.
We were really good, but the issue, and I talked about this in the book too, is I didn't know how to run a restaurant, and the people I took over the restaurant from didn't know how to run a restaurant either, and I learned from them. So those things did catch up to me.
What is it you didn't know about running a restaurant?
Well, there were other debts that they didn't pay off that I had to pay off, so I didn't figure that into my projections and my, you know, when I was doing like the P&Ls and all these kind of fancy, you know, financial projections. But then the other thing was, in the state of California, and, you know, this is something I completely admit to, the sales tax that most states charge or ask for from businesses, I thought that was automatically deducted from sales, because I didn't realize that I was supposed to hold on to that money and then pay that to the state, and which didn't make sense to me either because, you know, when you're running a restaurant or any kind of business, there's a lot of times where you don't have enough money. You know, you're looking at that money, and you can't tell your employees, like, hey, I can't pay you. You don't have this money. I'm holding on to it for the state, so
okay.
I can't pay you because I got to pay the state.
Yeah, then your restaurant isn't going to last very long that way. So what happened with that? Did you suddenly owe a bunch of money to the state?
I owed a whole lot of money to the state, and then when I found this out, I actually did call them, and I was trying to work with them. I was like, hey, look, I'm not trying to hide this money from you because I'm the one that reported it to you, but I'm asking you to work with me. And they were like, no, we're not going to work with you. I was like, please? And they're like, no.
Okay.
And then 2 weeks later, they levied my bank account for all the payroll I had the day before I had to pay my staff. And that was one of the hardest lessons I ever had to go through. And it was really harsh to talk to my staff and be like, look,
yeah,
I don't have your money.
They didn't care. I mean, they were ready to just shut your business down, you're saying.
For all intents and purposes, they didn't care. They wanted their money. I was like, look, wouldn't you rather me pay you in full versus taking a little bit now?
What did you make of that when you're dealing with people that, you know, really don't care about the future of your business?
I took it personally. It really hurt at first, but I thought it was really short-sighted. I'm like, look, you can get eight grand now, or you can have me pay off all 25 grand later. So what do you want me to do? Because you taking the $8,000 now may shut me down, and how is that worthwhile for you?
But you're not dealing with rational people at that point, huh?
Well, you know, also the state was pretty broke at that time too. So, you know, not to be mean, they weren't like gangsters. They're like, look, we want our money. I'm like, look, I know you want your money. I want you to have it too.
So how'd you make it through that? You didn't have payroll? How'd you get through that period?
With the business, I think the one thing, if you don't have money, you have to be there and give sweat equity. You have to be there running the business.
Uh-huh.
And the only way I was able to work out is I talked to my staff every day. I'm like, look, I don't have the money. And then any money I made every day, I would literally hand it over.
Wow.
I was like, guys, you see the money I'm making. I'm handing it over to you. So now you know it's not a lie. Uh-huh. This is the money I made. This is the money I'm giving you. This is the money I'm holding back to buy more groceries, to make more money. Because if I don't, and you don't have a job, and I don't have a business, and we can't talk anymore.
Yeah, wow. Was there a point where you just said, you know what, I'm not sure this is worth it? Or?
What? I don't know if any of that, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, except for me, it was a life lesson, because it kind of helped me figure out what I was willing to go through, and how far I was willing to go just for the sake of the business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it for most people. It's way too stressful. I'm glad I did it because it kind of helped me figure out how to be a better manager too. Because at that point in time, I couldn't be the hard boss anymore. I had to be more compassionate because I owed them money.
Interesting. And now what, everything's gravy or?
No, not now. Everything's not always gravy. You know, the restaurant business is feed for famine, and that is always the case. There is always a new monkey wrench being thrown in the works.
Uh-huh.
So, last week I was great. This week I'm like, I don't know.
Interesting. Wynn Tran, the book is Adventures in Starry Kitchen. The book, what is it, mostly recipes in the book? Or?
It's half of the memoir and anecdotes and stories, and half recipes and the stories that inspire them.
And how important is the quality of the food to actually running a successful restaurant?
It is almost the utmost importance. But, you know, but in America, I always say that service is half important because you can go to a place that has mediocre food but incredible service, and you'll actually consider going back.
Yeah.
But if you have a place that has great food and horrible service, you will never go back. And so food is almost the most important thing, but service, I think, is probably a little bit more.
Interesting. How do you get your staff to really be top-notch with the service?
Well, you treat them like people, and you don't feed them everything that they have to sell. And you tell them, and you help them figure out the economics of how that pays them back and tips and keeping their job and hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you treat them actually respectfully, but giving them very concise and clear direction on things that they're messing up on and explaining that. That helps a lot, because if you just treat them like, they're just like irreplaceable, they can be replaced, then they're going to feel like they can leave whenever they feel like as well.
Yeah, what kind of turnover? I mean, because the business, I mean, in general, there's turnover. What kind of turnover do you have?
So the turnover in most restaurants is usually you get turnover almost every couple months. We're pretty good. Let's just say this: my first employee that I hired 8 years ago is still with me.
Wow.
Okay. And then the current restaurant we have, Button Mash. We opened it almost 2 years ago. About 90% of the employees are the ones that opened the restaurant with us.
That's
so it's something I'm really proud about. And we treat it like a dysfunctional family, which is a thing that you can't treat them like a business. Like, you have to treat them like they are your family, and you have to communicate with them.
It's Wynn Tran. The brand new book is Adventures in Starry Kitchen. Adventures in Starry Kitchen. He started an illegal underground restaurant, and now he's a great success. Wynn Tran, right here on WILS. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
Enjoy it.